Welcome to the Relationship Recovery Podcast, hosted by Jessica Knight, a certified life coach who specializes in narcissistic and emotional abuse. This podcast is intended to help you identify manipulative and abusive behavior, set boundaries with yourself and others, and heal the relationship with yourself so you can learn to love in a healthy way.
Hello, and thank you so much for being here. Before I dive into today's topic, I want to first give you a quick reminder about two things. Okay, three things. One, I have a course online called the Emotional Abuse Breakthrough Course, and the purpose of that course is so that you're able to tap into what has been going on in your relationship, get clarity about how you've been feeling, and begin to understand if you are trauma bonded. It's not meant to heal the trauma bond, although I am working on something to help guide you through that. But it's on my website, emotionalabusecoach.com. And if you are like, I need to just get clear, that would be the place that I'd recommend you go. I also recommend Paul Colliani's Mean Workbook, and that's meant to help you understand manipulative behaviors that could be happening in your relationship. Both of those links will be in the show notes of this episode. The second thing is that I do offer something called a validation call. And so if you are wondering if there is abuse in your relationship, if you want help putting together pieces, if you are struggling to understand what's happening, that's what I recommend for you over a clarity call. It's more of like that one-off call where we can sort of just talk through everything. And I wouldn't underestimate the amount that you can possibly get from one call. I do send you questions before to fill out so that I'm clear about what's going on in your relationship and I can call out themes even before we really get started. But if you are looking for something that's more one-off, you can book that online. And if there aren't times available, just send me an email, jessica@jessicanightcoaching.com, and I would be happy to send you some alternatives. I typically do have some random times available, including the weekend times that just aren't posted because I hold space for client reschedules and other things like that. The last thing is that I do have a free resource of canned responses. And now these are canned responses to begin to set boundaries with an abusive person. It is meant to stop yourself from getting in circular conversations. And even though they may not quote unquote work, the working part of them is really for you to be able to get clarity. It's not necessarily for you to be able to demystify some of these things or like make ground with your partner. It's more, how can I just stop getting myself wrapped up in these conversations and pause? For me, it's not stonewalling, they're boundary setting. So you can have a look at that too. Today, I want to talk about something that is going to be controversial, but I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I want to talk about the problem of applying the five love languages in abusive relationships. The five love languages, which I'm sure you may have heard about before, but if you haven't, you can easily Google it. The book on Amazon has a lot of reviews. I've read it. I've taken the quiz a bunch of times. It was developed by Dr. Gary Chapman and has become a cornerstone in relationship counseling. A couples therapist will typically ask you what your love language is. And now these languages, words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch are designed to help partners understand and fulfill each other's emotional needs. Now again, the five languages are words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, and physical touch. However, while these love languages have positively transformed many relationships and help people understand their partners better, their application in abusive relationships can be problematic and even harmful. And I want to talk about that. And I've divided it into five sections because I think that that's important. And before we get into that, I want to share a little bit about why, as an overview, why I think this can be problematic. And when we are doing work on ourselves and in our relationships, love languages can come in about how you want to be loved and how you want to be seen, how you receive love. And I'll be honest with you, when I think about these love languages, I typically fall in between quality time and acts of service. But before that, is like a need of space, a need of space, a need of, it's almost like respect. Actually, that's reminding me of something that I posted on Threads a while ago. I'm actually going to pull it up because it was my most commented and liked post on Threads. And it was because I commented about love languages. I'm going to find it quickly. But I thought it was really interesting because I did it sort of ad hoc when I was really feeling a lot of things. And I said, consistency is a love language. Emotional availability is a love language. Respecting and validating somebody's different perspective is a love language. Listening and working through issues is a love language. Acknowledging the risk it took for someone to share their vulnerability is a love language. Celebrating another success is a love language. Initiating contact and making plans is a love language. Learning to manage our projections and expectations is a love language. And when I shared that, it was because I keep having people in this work, which is more solo focused, right? We're not here to think much about the relationship, but a lot of people were coming to me talking about, well, their love language is physical touch. So like, if we don't have sex, it's like, well, that's coercion, right? They're using their love language to kind of tell you that that's what that is. But love language can get a little complicated because it kind of asks us to change our natural ways of loving. And so I think this is twofold. I think that if we are with somebody who really benefits from words of affirmation, and you know that and you see that, and you are able to step into a place to give them more of that, I think that that's amazing. And I think that that's one way that you're showing how much you care. But at the same time, if your natural love language is quality time, and you may more lean into planning time together, wanting that time, making sure that you're in a place to receive that time, I think it's also on the other person to see that that's your way of showing up. If you have a history of not feeling safe in relationship, that person working with you to understand what you need to feel safe is a love language. And so just putting it into these five categories and saying, like, you need to lean into my love language, or that's not my love language, typically gets really complicated because you're asking somebody to change their way of being. And again, when we love someone, when we care, when we are working on a relationship, we absolutely lean into this. My partner is more words of affirmation. That's not natural for me, but I can lean into it and I can try. And all I ask for is to be appreciated for those tries on the other side. But if my love language is quality time and nobody is ever trying to spend time with me or really working on that time or even appreciating, like, I think quality time for me personally also means respecting the time that I have even without them, you know, like making sure like my time is respected, whether it's with my kid, whether it's with them, whether it's with myself. That's how I feel loved and respected. But aside from all those things, what I want is in a relationship is safety, consistency, some basic stuff before we even get to this place. So let's dive into the problems that I see with love languages. One, the misuse of the love languages. I touched on this briefly. In abusive relationships, the principles of five love languages can be distorted and used as a tool of manipulation. We can see antagonistic personality styles use and misuse their partner's primary love language as a means of control, whether that means like they are doing only that thing to get what they want, or, for example, giving gifts to overshadow abusive actions, which manipulates the love language to control. So if your love language is receiving gifts and now they want to consistently give you things, that may be forcing control. The misuse subverts the original intent of love and instead solidifies this power imbalance. This may also cause us to ignore our core relationship issues. In the context of abuse, focusing on love languages can obscure or minimize critical issues such as disrespect, emotional abuse, and physical danger. If you think about like a scenario where an abuser utilizes quality time to excessively control their partner's activities, it can be a tool of isolation of, why are you going and doing that thing? I want to spend time with you. It's important for us to have connection. Or even doing it like at times you should, that are like meant for you to sleep. You know, I need quality time. We haven't had quality time today. okay, but today we were together with others all day and I am exhausted and I really want to be able to show up for you tomorrow. Well, you didn't show up for me today and I need it today. This misuse of it can lead to isolation, can lead to control, can lead to you feeling like you can't do things out in the world. It misuses the intent again. And so in this example, under the guise of spending time together, it can mask deeper problems like possessiveness and mistrust and shifts the focus from the crucial need to address these issues rather than superficially fulfilling a love language, which can really be enabling the other side. The third one I have is emotional coercion and guilt. For example, an abuser may demand acts of service as a show of love, but then use these acts as a platform for criticism or belittlement. So if your love language is acts of service and they help you, and they're helping you and they're helping you, and then you start to feel like this is going to backfire, or they're helping me just so that they can remind me that they helped me, or just so that they can use it against me, or just so that this could be a tool to make me feel bad. It's not coming from a place of love. It's coming from a place of control. Nothing hurts me more. That's a lie. There's a lot of things that hurt me. But one of the things that has been really challenging in abusive dynamics is when somebody uses their help against me, because it took me so much to accept the help. I have a hard time accepting help because of the guilt and the coercion that has been used against me in the past. And then if they do offer help and I do accept it and then it's used against me, that's really challenging. That behavior not only discourages the partner trying to show love, but also perpetuates that cycle of emotional abuse. And over time, it has a real impact on our self-esteem because we start to feel like we can't do anything right. It feels like there's one-sided expectations that lack genuine appreciation or reciprocity. Love languages can also suppress our personal emotional expressions. And I touched on this before, that a far natural way of loving is the words, and it is the sharing how we feel verbally through words, through text, through written forms. Then we sometimes might feel pressure to express it only in another person's way of receiving it. And likely in an abusive dynamic, they're not doing the opposite. So then we feel like the way that we love naturally is not okay, but we have to do it in another way. This also can be quite complicated and coercive and abusive when, for instance, a partner deeply values physical touch and you're pressured into unwanted physical intimacy. That's coercion. Not only violates your personal boundaries, but it also deeply undermines your sense of autonomy and emotional safety. This forces somebody into sacrificing their emotional needs and comfort for the other person's desires. Love languages also can create unrealistic expectations. Abusers in relationships often set unrealistic expectations around their preferred love languages. If we use the physical touch example again, they may expect constant physical affection without regard for their partner's comfort or consent. How many times have you been in an argument with somebody and at the end they want to like cuddle or snuggle or touch and you're just like so warped, so dead, so done that feels impossible? And this puts pressure on the partner. Demanding continuous demonstrations of affection that disregard personal boundaries is unfair. It is harmful. It ignores the importance of mutual respect in a relationship and expressing love. So the bottom line here is that I think that while this can be a helpful tool, it's not helpful in abusive dynamics. What's helpful in abusive dynamics is to have respect, listening, emotional availability, and getting down to the basics. Getting down to safety, getting down to ensuring your partner feels safe. When manipulated, love languages can be tools of manipulation rather than connection. And so it's really important that you take steps to recognize and address these issues, which is not just about ending the cycle of abuse, but also helping you become healthier and more self-aware of you. I hope this was helpful. As always, you can find me at jessicanightcoaching.com if you want to email me, emotionalabusecoach.com to find me and to find my courses, my offerings, and on Instagram at emotionalabusecoach.